Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, June 20th. The U.S. Transportation Secretary came to San Diego to push for the passage of Trump's big, beautiful bill. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. U.S. Customs and Border Protection say agents uncovered a drug smuggling tunnel linking Tijuana to the San Diego area. The incomplete tunnel began under a house in the Nueva Tijuana neighborhood and seemed to be heading for a commercial warehouse near the Otay Mesa port of entry. It extended more than 1,000 feet inside the U.S. and had lighting, ventilation, and tracks to move large amounts of illegal goods. More than 95 smuggling tunnels have been found in the San Diego area over the past three decades. Border Patrol plans to pour thousands of gallons of concrete into the tunnel to disable it. The general manager of an Alcohol area business pleaded guilty earlier this week to federal immigration-related charges. Agents raided the San Diego Powder and Protective Coatings warehouse in March. Manager John Washburn was sentenced to 1 year probation and 50 hours of community service. Prosecutors say he employed workers living in the U.S. without legal status and let them live inside the warehouse. A North Park ice cream shop was named best in the country for the second year in a row. The contenders were picked by a USA Today panel of experts and voted on by readers. On's Dry Cleaning opened in 2018 and was named after the business it replaced on Adams Avenue. It's made from scratch gelato flavors that are named after fabrics like taffeta and twill. To celebrate, On's will be selling $1 gelatos on July 1st. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Now on the finest podcast, the NPR Tiny Desk Contest. We bring you the history of the concert series and the competition and hear from the artists behind our favorite local entries. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy toured an air traffic control tower at San Diego International Airport yesterday to see the condition of the facilities. Reporter Jacob Ayer says the secretary is pushing for funding to improve what he calls our nation's outdated air traffic control system.
Outside of a San Diego airport traffic control tower, U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy urged Congress to pass President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Included in the bill are significant tax cuts, Medicaid cuts, and green energy cuts, among many other changes. Another key component is a $12.5 billion investment in upgrading the Federal Aviation Administration's air traffic control system. Frank McIntosh is the chief operating officer with the FAA.
This is a critical need for us. The challenges facing our nation's air traffic control system didn't just arise overnight, but they're here today.
Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
There's also a new tax in the bill that financial privacy advocates are worried about. It would impose a 3.5% tax on people who send money to friends or family abroad. But border reporter Gustavo Solis says there is a controversial exception.
The proposed tax could help Trump's mass deportation campaign. So says Nick Anthony, a policy analyst with the libertarian Cato Institute. On the surface, this looks like a standard 3.5% tax on money sent abroad, but there's a catch.
They created an exception saying that if you're an American, you don't have to pay the tax. Just prove that you're an American.
He sees the proposal as a way for the Trump administration to collect the private information of people who send remittances to family and friends back home. Those who do not hand over their information must pay the tax.
So this creates a whole new layer of problems where it kind of seems like more like a database for collecting our information, for identifying us, for identifying people who have relationships across the border than really a tax base.
The so-called Big Beautiful Bill passed the House of Representatives along partisan lines in May. It is currently being deliberated in the Senate. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The National Transportation Safety Board released a preliminary investigation report into last month's fatal plane crash in San Diego. Investigative reporter Scott Rodd says the report reveals new information about malfunctioning airport equipment.
The Cessna jet crashed early in the morning on May 22nd as it approached the Montgomery Gibbs Executive Airport, killing all six people on board. The plane caused damage to military housing in the Tierra Santa neighborhood. The NTSB's preliminary report confirms the plane approached the airport below the required altitude and then struck a power line.
You never should have been that low, 2 or 3 miles away from the airport.
Jim Wilterdink is a local retired pilot with decades of flying experience. KPBS previously reported the airport's weather observation system and runway lights were out of service at the time of the crash. The NTSB's report reveals the runway lights had been out of service since 2022. Wilterdink says investigators will likely look at the impact of fatigue on the pilot's decision-making. The crash happened between 3 and 4 a.m.
The big thing is going to be, was there an issue of exhaustion? And that seems to be one of the prime suspects in this case.
NTSB's investigation into the crash remains ongoing. Scott Rodd, KPBS News.
Transgender people in the military are being forced out of the service under the Trump administration's new ban. Military reporter Andrew Dyer recently sat down with one local sailor who says it's his responsibility to speak out for trans men and women in uniform.
Senior Chief Operations Specialist Ben Kibler's been in the Navy 13 years. This year, he was admitted into a highly selective Navy officer program. Instead of planning for his Navy future, days later, he found out he'd be forced out. That's where I started our conversation.
You told me you'd been in the Navy for 13 years and that you're a senior chief. Is that an unusual kind of career trajectory in your rating?
Yes. So I made chief, which is E7, in 6.5 years, almost at the 7 mark. That is, it's not unheard of, but it's definitely not common or the norm. I was fast-tracked. A lot of that is because my leadership saw things in myself and gave me opportunities because they believed that they believed in me and they believed that I could accomplish what they were asking of me.
Kibler's Navy record backs that up. Early in his career, one evaluation said Kibler was ranked number 1 out of 60 other sailors in his rank. Other eval quotes were, unequivocally my best deck plate leader, my go-to senior chief, and exceptional deck plate leadership and unwavering loyalty towards mission success. He was even on track for promotion.
You mentioned you'd been selected for LDO program. Can you just basically tell us what is LDO and what does it take to get into that?
Limited duty officers serve as subject matter experts within the designator that they're chosen for, and you go through a board process.
When did you find out you were selected for LDO?
I found out on February 24th.
What else was happening at that time?
So I think the week prior, the Department of Defense had preluded to releasing a memorandum banning transgender people from service, but it hadn't released at that point.
And you are transgender.
I am, yes.
Kibler spent the first decade of his Navy career living as a woman, the gender he was assigned at birth. In 2020, he came out as trans.
It got to a point that I felt like I wasn't living authentically with who I am, and because of that, I wasn't living in alignment with my values, and I didn't feel like I was living in alignment with the Navy's values either. I had been going to therapy specifically to deal with that for about 2.5, almost 3 years. Before I made any kind of medical decision with my doctors for what my transition entailed. And that differs for everybody, what their transition actually looks like.
But was this some radical therapist medical setting, or was this Navy medical?
This is Navy medical, yeah. I did everything through the Navy.
So you've gone through a transition. You do get back on sea duty. You're assigned to a ship. But now you're identifying as a different gender. Did it change anything?
Everybody could see that I was just a member of the team and that I'm pulling my weight and that I'm trying my best the same way everybody else is. And that's what's respected. Nobody really cares. We have bigger things to worry about than, you know, what gender somebody identifies as.
Kibler's ship changed its home port last month from San Diego to Japan. He's now at another local command, waiting for the Navy to sign off on his voluntary separation. And though on paper it's voluntary, he says until recently he was planning on spending another decade or more in the Navy.
Yeah, it's just really hard. It's devastating. You know, I feel like as I said, like, so I was selected for a commission on Monday, and then this came out on Wednesday. To achieve that and not really be able to relish it, and knowing that you're never going to put it on, and not because of, you know, any, it's not, I didn't do anything wrong. It's not because of a lack of performance. I actually overperform.
Going through another type of transition, right? Leaving the military. How is this playing out in your mind?
It's really hard. It's scary because, like, so much of my identity is being a sailor. You know, I joined the Navy when I was 23. I'm going to be 37 this year. That's a long time.
A pair of lawsuits are working their way through federal courts, but the ban is moving ahead. Although everyone is supposed to be getting honorable discharges, officers are reportedly also receiving discharge codes that tell potential employers their national security risks. Kibler is waiting on a separation date. Until he has one, it's basically impossible to look for a new job.
I believe in my country. I love my country. I want to serve my country. And I think that that's really what needs to be taken away is from all of this is, like, these are just people, just like any other people, who are just trying to do their jobs and trying to make the best out of everything.
That was Navy Senior Chief Ben Kibler speaking with military reporter Andrew Dyer. That's it for the podcast today. This week, the podcast was produced by David Jones, Andrew Dyer, and Katie Heisen. It's edited by Brooke Ruth. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Tebby Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Latino Legacy Foundation, presenting their Storyteller Series, Reach for the Stars with Ellen Ochoa, the first Latina astronaut. Welcome Serenade by the all-female mariachi Amapolas, Sunday, June 29th. More at latinolegacyfoundation.org.